From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. UN officials say they've fed more than 73,000 people in Haiti, but many other survivors still await food. Relief workers are struggling to reach those still trapped by last week's earthquake, while other survivors are wandering the streets, and there are also reports of looting. NPR's David Gilkey describes the scene earlier today in the capital, Port-au-Prince.
It's definitely taken a different turn. I mean, you can definitely feel sort of a different tone down there. It's an unbelievably apocalyptic scene. It's just smoke and people running around with whatever they can grab. I saw a guy just carrying a box of straws today. I guess that's what he felt he needed, and it's indescribable, really it is.
NPR's David Gilkey in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Aid workers along the Haitian-Dominican Republic border say they are still having a hard time getting all the supplies they need. NPR's Russell Lewis has more.
Here at this military staging compound on the Dominican Republic side of the border in Hamani, an aid worker with the Dominican Red Cross says their supply line is a bottleneck. They have the food, water, and medical provisions to take into Haiti, but government bureaucracy is holding things up. Shipments of gasoline, even carried by relief organizations and journalists, need Dominican military permission to enter Haiti. This is the main border crossing, about 30 miles from Port-au-Prince. Each morning, supply trucks and aid workers line up and are escorted by United Nations convoy right to downtown. But the convoy leaves just once a day, and the border closes at night, further complicating the relief effort. Russell Lewis, NPR News, Hamani, Dominican Republic.
The recent cold snap in Florida that threatened the state's winter crops has also forced restrictions on fishing. Phil Latzman with member station WLRN has this report from Miami.
The state has temporarily acted to restrict the capture of certain saltwater fish because too many of them were killed in this month's prolonged cold snap. The state canceled the upcoming snook season and banned the harvest and possession of bonefish and tarpon until April. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says the cold killed thousands of fish, and the commission's chairman calls the measures a proactive, precautionary approach. Limits on grouper during spawning season have already been in place. And last week, in a letter to the federal government, Governor Charlie Crist asked that Florida be declared an agriculture disaster area due to 13 straight days of freezing weather this month. In his request, the governor wrote that, quote, no sector of agriculture appeared to have been spared. For NPR News, I'm Phil Latzman in Miami.
The health care bill may be hanging in the balance when Massachusetts voters go to the polls on Tuesday to fill Ted Kennedy's Senate seat. Democrat Martha Coakley is running neck and neck with Republican Scott Brown, who says he'd vote against the bill. This is NPR News. A Greek-owned oil tanker is now free following a ransom drop and an ugly spat between rival Somali pirate gangs. NPR's Gwen Tompkins has the story.
Somewhere between $5 and $7 million hit the deck of the Moran Centaurus in an aerial drop over the weekend, and the pirates began fighting among themselves shortly thereafter. Somali pirate gangs are notoriously practical and often work together despite differences that would prevent Somalis on land from ever joining forces. But a disagreement over dispersal of the money delayed the release of the tanker. The gangs also reportedly exchanged gunfire, which is particularly dangerous given that the Moran Centaurus is carrying about 2 million barrels of oil. But the problem was ultimately settled, and the pirates reportedly left the tanker. The Moran Centaurus has been held captive since November. The vessel and its crew of 28 are now heading out of Somali waters. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Nairobi.
Afghan officials say the country's security forces, along with NATO advisors, restored order in Kabul after nearly 5 hours of fighting on Monday. The gun battle broke out after Taliban militants wearing explosive vests blew themselves up in several locations near government buildings, killing 12 people. The attacks came as Afghan President Hamid Karzai was swearing in his new cabinet members. A self-proclaimed leader of a plot to blow up the Toronto Stock Exchange has been sentenced to life in prison. Zachariah Amara confessed to the crime last fall. He said the aim was to get Canada to pull its troops out of Afghanistan. He was arrested in 2006, along with 17 other suspects. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News from Washington.